Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
President Trump was asked today if Russia is still targeting the U.S. He said no. At a cabinet meeting this afternoon, President Trump once again insisted he has the upper hand with Russia after trying yesterday to contain the damage from his news conference with Russian President Vladimir Putin on Monday.
There's been no president ever as tough as I have been on Russia. All you have to do is look at the numbers, look at what we've done, look at sanctions, look at ambassadors not there, look, unfortunately, at what happened in Syria recently. And I think President Putin knows that better than anybody, certainly a lot better than the media.
Yesterday, Trump said he misspoke in one sentence out of an entire press conference of expressing doubts about U.S. intelligence agency conclusions that Russia hacked the 2016 election.
Let's bring in our midweek political strategist. And this week we have Paris Denard, the Republican strategist and member of the Trump White House Fellowship Commission. Hi, Paris.
Hello, hello, hello.
And Jamal Simmons, a Democratic strategist. Hi, Jamal.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well, Jamal. Trump defended Putin and criticized U.S. intelligence agency's conclusion that Russia hacked the election. Then he partially walked that back yesterday, just this one sentence we've been talking about. Bill Maher tweeted, now that Trump is finally vulnerable.
He
did. He said, now that Trump is finally vulnerable, watch the Democrats not go for the jugular. What do you think Democrats should do?
I think, first of all, Democrats should be accurate, which is that the president said that he, you know, sort of the apostrophe defense, right? He meant would and not wouldn't. But then he went on to say, but other people are still out there. There are lots of people out there. It could be anybody. Like, the president can't even mount his defense at the moment where he's mounting a defense in a compelling way because he just doesn't believe it. I'm not sure why he doesn't believe his intelligence officials, but it's clear that he doesn't. And today, when he said that they're not, that Russians are still not attacking the United States, still, he is still showing that he believes something that is very different than what his director of national intelligence believes. And it's not just me; it's also two former ex-CIA chiefs who have now said they think what Trump is doing perhaps is treasonous.
Well, look, Paris, you have been very supportive of the president, as you have been for a while now. You wrote in The Hill about Helsinki being more evidence of his bold approach to international diplomacy. You said he had a spine of tempered steel. But Newt Gingrich called it the most serious mistake of Trump's presidency. And we have, as Jamal just said, we have the president today saying, no, Russia is not still meddling when his government says it is. How do you explain, first of all, what you see? I really want to hear what you see that Newt Gingrich isn't seeing or other Republicans aren't seeing about what happened in Helsinki. And how do you handle what he's saying today about Russia not meddling?
Well, you are accurate. I have been a supporter of the president, and I believe that what Newt Gingrich actually tweeted was he needed to explain his position on Russian meddling or clarify it. And I think what the president did today.
Well, he did call it the most serious mistake of his presidency, but go ahead. Yeah.
If it was not clarified. And the caveat was that he needed to clarify it and clear it up. And so that's what the president did today. He clarified what he meant to say in terms of would or wouldn't, saying that he has no reason to believe that Russia wouldn't meddle in Russian election. This is what the intelligence community has said. And I think we need to look at what the intelligence community, who, by the way, works for the Trump administration, when Pompeo, when others, Coates and others speak about Russia's interference and meddling, they also speak for the administration. The president has been clear. Another thing that Jamal said was Democrats should be accurate about this. And I think Democrats should be accurate in also looking at the history and the record of this administration in the sanctions and the other actions against Russia in response to what they have been doing, not just with our elections, but also in Syria and Crimea and things of that nature. So we have to be accurate about the record. And the president set the record straight today.
Well, the accurate part of that is that the Congress forced him into doing those things.
You know what? You can say whether it was Congress forcing him or not. It happened. It did it. He signed it, and it was done.
Okay.
And that was this president.
But Paris,
and it's more than I can say for President Obama, who did more than just put out a press release.
But
so
Paris,
we can go
Paris,
back and analyze the record of what President Obama did as it relates to Russia meddling.
President Obama went to the president of Russia and said, "Do not interfere with our elections anymore."
Knock it off.
And Vladimir Putin said the president said that it addressed that to him. In their private conversation.
Oh, so we should believe Vladimir Putin more than we believe the director of national intelligence, the CIA director, FBI, the prosecutor from the special counsel. So any of our justice officials, any of our intelligence officials, or the Senate, the Republican Senate Intelligence Committee.
No, what I said was Vladimir Putin said that the president raised Russian meddling, and that is what the president said that he did, and that's what the president did do.
Okay, but I still have to. I have to ask about one thing, Paris, because this wouldn't thing. That wasn't the criticism that it was one sentence. He went on an entire press conference where he, you know, heaped praise on Vladimir Putin and attacked his own intelligence agencies. Not to mention, he didn't stand up to the guy right to his face and say, which he did to certainly just did the week before
to
NATO allies on camera. You know, yelled at them across the table. Why didn't he do that to Putin?
Like I said before, this president has a strategy as it relates to engaging with different world leaders. And I think that this is so far
appeasement appears to be the strategy when it comes to Russia.
Well, you know what? You can say what you want, but his strategy has been working when it comes to North Korea and dealing with Kim Jong-un. His strategy worked with the NATO leaders because I believe the defense spending that those other countries, which was rather low, has increased because of the president's direct action. And the president believes, and I agree, that this type of engagement with Putin is going to be effective because you want to do things that are going to not aggravate or escalate situations. So you can do appeasement if you want to at the way that President Obama—
I'm not doing appeasement. President Trump's doing
appeasement. Well, you can look at what has happened in the past with the way that President Obama dealt with them and other past presidents dealt with Vladimir Putin, and you can say nothing has changed. And I think in order to get something that you've never had before, you got to do some things you've never done before. And the president has a unique strategy, years of negotiating, and I think it's going to be effective.
Okay, you make your point, but Jamal, I got to ask you. You've made yours too, obviously. Feeling as the majority of observers do that this was a disaster this week. But Jamal, what about the criticism of the well, I think it is Paris, but Jamal, what about the criticism of the Democrats that they are falling into the Trump derangement syndrome? It's already made it into the Urban Dictionary. It's a mental condition in which a person has been driven effectively insane because of his dislike of Donald Trump to the point at which they abandon all logic and reason. This is what's being thrown at the Democrats, that there's sort of a sense of hysteria that feels to Trump supporters like it's irrational and it's somewhat paranoid. How do you handle that when there, you know, there's obvious upset?
First of all, the number of Trump supporters at best is 46% of the country that voted for him. At worst, is probably in the mid 30s, as polls consistently show. But let's just talk about the idea of what's really happening, because it's not just Democrats. Again, it's former CIA officials. It's the Justice Department. It's the special prosecutor. It's the Republican Senate Intelligence Committee. It's John McCain, who said this was disgraceful. It's Jeff Flake. There's a litany of people.
Never anti-Trumpers.
Okay. So the majority of the country who are never Trumpers.
Voted for the president.
But let's just talk for a second about what happened when the president went out. He not only said the thing would or wouldn't, he also said that he thought it was a good idea that we share intelligence with Vladimir Putin, and we have Robert Mueller go to Moscow to interview these people who've been indicted, and then let Russian agents interview Americans who they have problems with. The president of the United States thought that was a good idea. Sometimes some good things happen on Twitter, and one of my Twitter followers said that would be like Marsha Clark asking OJ to help find the killer.
Oh,
it's just not something that's credible.
I want to just flip topics for a second here in the last minute or so that we have and talk about the economy, because it has been humming along, and there are
booming.
A lot of people that are worried, though, Paris, that
it's
there could
booming.
Be a recession coming. We're certainly due for one. And this thing called the yield curve, which shows the difference between short-term and long-term bonds, has been indicating that a recession could be coming. But here's Larry Kudlow, the economic advisor to the president, speaking at a CNBC forum today.
And they were.
There's no recession in sight.
Okay,
I just want to make that point.
Right.
No recession in sight right now.
Paris, what do you think? And how important is the economy coming into this upcoming election as opposed to things like what just happened in Helsinki?
It's always, what is the phrase? It's the economy, stupid. Right. It's the economy. It's the economy. It's the economy. And I think the naysayers about the positive impacts of the president's Make America Great Again agenda, an America First agenda that has reaped the benefits of having the lowest unemployment that we've seen, especially amongst African Americans, is proof positive. When they find these ways of going against it, it's more of the derangement syndrome. It's more of the hypocrisy. They don't want to give the man credit for the thing that he should be given credit for.
Would you give Barack Obama credit for the fact that the economy was in great shape when he handed it off to Donald Trump?
If you call high unemployment for African Americans great shape, okay, if you look at the
Paris, that's ridiculous. The unemployment rate for African Americans has been falling for years. If you go back to 2009,
the fact that Jamal won't give the president credit for the booming economy is proof positive of the derangement syndrome.
This is what Democrats do. I'm saying Trump didn't mess it up. Is the credit that he gets
the
not
tax
that
cut?
Trump has done something
Boeing
about
gave a tax cut to the tax cut resulted gentlemen, in Boeing giving $6 million to HBCUs.
Gentlemen,
that's a positive thing. Would you not agree,
gentlemen? No more psychoanalyzing. We have got to end the segment. Jamal Simmons, Democratic strategist, Paris Dinard on the Republican side.
Thank you. Stay free, everybody.
Take care.